last year. Sorry.
A carp ass.
you're letting it. What does that mean? What were you letting it do?
Well, you know how carp are, man. All highfalutin. And sometimes you gotta let them have some carp ass.
Like, yeah. They think they're top shit for being a bottom feeder.
You know, all right. This goes back to my deep hatred of seafood and healthy food in general. But
not this again. Oh God.
Right.
Always.
He says, cramming a ding dong in his mouth like one of them. But like catfish and carp and that kind of stuff, like the kinds of animals that you just know are eating shit to subsist.
Yeah.
I have a problem with that unless it's shellfish. And then I'm somehow okay with it.
Yeah, when you think about it, like shellfish are probably worse.
Even worse, because you got to pull the poop chute right out of them.
Yeah, they've just been doing it longer on an evolutionary scale, you know what I mean? They've just been around a little bit longer.
They definitely taste better, evolutionarily speaking. I would rather have a scrimp than I would...
That, that lack of a central nervous system really makes them succulent.
I base this on nothing other than just my own conjecture, but I would think that a shrimp would be a pretty clean animal because it would clean itself constantly.
I just picture the scrimps that live on the electrical lines and telegraph lines and whatnot.
Way down deep.
Yeah, and are just eating whatever clings to the shit rubber that they use to insulate those things.
This shopping cart is delicious.
Right. But who hasn't said that, really? All right, that brings to mind an interesting question. And by brings to mind, I mean just occurred to me.
I think that's what that phrase actually means, though.
Probably so.
Brings to mind.
How much would I have to pay either of you gentlemen to lick a random shopping cart?
I operate under the idea that you've got an immune system, use it or lose it. Fair enough. I would lick the shopping cart for whatever amount you were paying.
Yes, I was going to say, it really sounds like you're going to make out better going the John Dolan route on this one.
Whatever.
I go to the Murder Kroger. I'm not licking anything in that place.
I eat food off the floor. Yeah. Whatever.
Whatever you're paying, man. Whatever. I don't know. I got like 87 cents.
Yeah, it's fine.
87 cents I didn't have before. Sucker.
And all I got to do is lick a shopping cart.
All I have to do is get diphtheria. Where do I sign?
I mean, I guess it depends. Like, if you're saying it was in Nashville, I had to lick a shopping cart, I would think a little harder about it.
Oh, sir.
No, this is a double blind. Like, there's like five shopping carts. You don't know where they came from.
You don't know which one has been to Nashville.
We're bringing them in from the four corners. One of them has spent most of its time at a carnival.
Oh, the shopping cart challenge.
Wow. Yeah, that's called the Joker. That's what that is.
You are guaranteed to get some kind of hepatitis from it. A, B, C, D, who knows? But there's some hep on that cart.
Just the word carnival makes your skin kind of crawl a little bit.
It does. I haven't been to one in years. The last time I was, it was like a date, which is the shittiest date ever.
Was it like a county fair or like?
Yeah, I mean, it was like the local, you know, Davidson County in Carnival or whatever it was fairgrounds here.
It was better than there's a shopping center over there and they cram some super low rate carnival rides in there for the weekend.
Right.
I know you've passed a couple of those.
Oh yeah. Yeah. They've got a couple of hastily put together zippers and a tilt.
What I want to do is get in this dangerous carnival ride and ride it over concrete.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I love that. Like, I've never gone on one of those rides because carnivals seem dicey at best. And, like, you know, flash carnivals in parking lots seem even less of a sure thing.
Carnivals.
I don't know what you call them.
We should buy a carnival, and that's what we should call it. We should call it Flash Carnivals.
Where do I sign up? No, not that kind of flash.
We can be there.
It can be both kinds.
We can have a carnival set up in like 2 hours.
Right. And we set it all to Moby music. It's going to be great.
More of a performance piece, really, than an actual carnival.
Hey, welcome to the Shotcast, everyone. As you get even clearer insight into the inner workings of your pals over here at sdfgaming.com. So this is a video game / carnival podcast, as you're well aware. And today we are going to be talking about the nexus of Tunnels of Love and video games.
Like a Bruce Springsteen Tunnel of Love or a Carnival Tunnel of Love?
Like Carnival Tunnel, like the kind that, speaking of hepatitis, you're going to get yourself a dose in a good old Carnival Tunnel of Love. Probably maybe
that's playing the song Tunnel of Love by Bruce Springsteen.
Right, yeah.
Girl,
baby, and later, later, Justin's top 10 ring toss games from across the southern counties.
Nice.
Boy, that bottle
you guys
game
are in for a treat.
Where you got to stand up a pop, like a soda bottle, a glass soda bottle with a ring on a string attached to like a stick. That's a bullshit game. That's impossible.
I don't know about that one.
I just like the idea of Justin being like number 9, Dixie's Hurla Hoop,
North Carolina.
Yeah,
the ring toss game here was obviously Criscoed. Watch out, folks!
Right? This carnival game surprisingly isn't on the up and up.
You could do little side interviews, just some random guy. Yeah, like they're using small rings. It's obvious that they've got small rings in there. These aren't up to standard.
Doing probing interviews with specialists in the field. Like, everyone knows like, this should be 7 9/16, and clearly.
They're using small rings or big bottles. I don't know. We've got to get to the bottom of this.
Right.
It's one or the other.
What are we doing with our lives down that we're not doing
guys
that?
Guys closing down for the night, and I've got like the camera, the Joey Greco camera with the huge light on it. And I'm just like, why are you cheating people?
I'm just trying to make a living. I got to feed me and my two boys.
I feel like I've actually seen this newscast before.
Probably.
Right. Sounds really familiar.
God.
The 60 Minutes expose. Yes, so video games is why we're all here. As always, we like to begin the evening with a quick introduction. And by way of a how are you and what you've been playing, just randomly, no rhyme or reason to it. Justin, why don't you tell us how we are and what have you been playing lately, sir?
We are good. We have been playing. No, I'm doing work. Good.
Right.
Yeah. I've been real busy. Like I was telling you guys, I think tonight's my first night. This week I've been free, so I haven't played a ton of stuff. But today at lunch, a game that I have been patiently waiting for came out on Steam in early access. It's a VR game called VTOL VR. It's like vertical takeoff and landing. And it's basically just like it's somewhere between like a DCS kind of simulator and like a more arcadey Arma kind of game. But basically the whole game revolves around this aircraft that this guy has modeled. That's a fictional kind of, it's kind of like a troop transport, but you can put missiles and stuff on it too. But you hop in the cockpit and the whole cockpit is set up with buttons and stuff for VR. So you have to like turn the battery on and turn the engines on. And you actually use, the joysticks in the game. You actually have to grab them with the controllers. But there's a bunch of cool stuff like autopilots and like with the missiles and stuff, you can like slave it to your head. So you kind of have like a gun sight. It's very in depth, but being very easy to pick up. And it's kind of like a little sandbox with a bunch of little different missions. And the guy's going to add like, I think it's a fighter jet that he's coming up with, and then possibly multiplayer down the line. But you should definitely take a look at it. The video for it is a lot more, it's a lot easier to visualize what's going on and how sort of quirky and fun it is than actually just talking about it.
Is it, so you're actually like sitting in a cockpit in VR?
Yeah.
Or,
okay. Yeah, you're actually like, the way it's set, the game sets up is like sit you in the seat, and then it lets you, gives you like a little stage beforehand to move your seat, like away from your desk or something. Hmm. And then you hit a button and it'll kind of recenter the world around to wherever you have ended up in your room, which is pretty cool. Cause I don't like being right on the desk and punching my desk, you know, and being able to like,
how did you hear about this game?
I follow the Vive subreddit, and this guy posted long time ago, months ago, just a quick little video of like things he's been working on. And then I followed his, either his YouTube channel or something, or you know, his user on Reddit. And then he was saying like he was going to come out sometime in August. And then I followed when he, you know, he put the, it's been on the actual early access. It just hasn't been available for download. And then I got that email today and it was like, no brainer.
That's cool.
Instantly bought it. I got to play it for about 30 minutes and I picked it right up, but it's one of those things where it's like, I picked it right up, but I'm horrible at it, and I'm horrible at it. And that's awesome because it means I'm going to have to actually play it to get better. And there's a lot of fun stuff in there that like you can kind of set like the autopilot and then turn to doing all this sort of like using the targeting pod thing to look around for targets and zoom in and out and use the FLIR kind of stuff and all kinds of other cool things that you don't get to do in ARMA or something like that. And I haven't been able to do that in VR yet.
That's cool.
Yeah. It's $26 looks like.
Yeah, it's 25. I say that's a little steep, but for a VR game, it's very well polished already. I mean, it just came out in early access and he's going to be adding more stuff. I think it's not a bad price. Some people were harping on him for it, but come on. He's been working on it for a while.
That's a hard thing, man. Like, I have a buddy I went to high school with has a game on Steam that he programmed the entire thing himself, that motorboat simulator.
Yeah.
And like when he started charging like $30 for it or something when he put it out, and he said, this game is, you know, I'm still working on it. I'm trying to fund the game. Like he was very honest about what his goals were for charging that much for it. And he hasn't gotten a lot of bites, but he hasn't lowered his price. Like he's kind of stuck to his guns on it. That's gotta be hard to know what to set that at.
It's weird because there are some, you know, big name developers that could put out VR games for cheaper, which I think they're probably some more polished things you can get for $25 in VR. So maybe it's not the first thing you get, but
I mean, it's all about what is your time worth as the developer of this game. Like I need this, and this is what I think I'm worth. So.
Yeah. And to me, that's the exact kind of game I want to play in VR, and it works and it is fun.
Yeah. I mean, this is clearly just a dude who was like, I totally want to fly a VTOL.
And
so he made one.
So he made one. Yeah, and I'm totally behind people like that. Yeah. That's my fun game.
Cool.
Other than that, PUBS. You know, PUBS, that other game we played a little bit. That murder simulator we all caught on to.
Oh, I thought you meant drinking.
No.
Just going to pubs.
I will say I did get a 9 kills in a game
between
the last time we played, so
it was bloody.
Pretty hot stuff right now.
Also, speaking of pubs, have you checked out Smith & Lentz? Are you going there? Are you getting their beers?
No.
You should. It's right around the corner. It's excellent.
Beer.
I don't really do the beer drinking so much these days.
You know what? Just give their IPA a shot.
I'll do it.
All right.
I give it a shot. I'm not like opposed to having a beer.
It's not like licking a shopping cart. It's a beer.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. it's a much easier decision.
The level-headed
bar here in Nashville.
The level-headed gentleman here is one John Dolan. sir, what have you been playing? But more importantly, how the hell are you?
Doing well.
Yeah. How's the family?
Good. Getting ready for my son's 7th birthday.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Wow.
He doesn't. Hopefully, you don't publish this before his birthday, which is in 2 days. But and he doesn't listen to the show anyway, which would be really fucked up if he did, because we say some terrible shit on here.
Yeah.
But no, I bought him the brand new Nintendo 3DS XL Galaxy Edition that just came out. And like 7 games for it, and a really nice case to put it in, and like all the bells and whistles, you know, the screen protectors, all that kind of stuff.
Nice.
Well, if he's a real bad boy in the next 2 days, you know what my address is.
But I got him like,
been a bad boy, son. I'm sending this to Justin.
I'll happily take a Polaroid of me playing with it that you can, that just says like happy birthday.
Just make sure you look like you're having a really good time.
You done fucked up, son.
That's an adult man having adult man fun. Imagine what a kid like you would have.
Yeah. Your mind will explode if I let you touch this thing. Best hand that to dad. You should just hand it to dad. Be safe. Yeah, I'm excited to see what that thing looks like. I've never had one of those, but he's I think he's getting bored with his tablet. I think he's getting bored with those kinds of games. Because he downloads new games constantly. Dad, can I try this one? Can I try this one? Can I try this one? And we have a standard rule that he can install and try anything he wants as long as I get to, you know, approve it first. And if it's just like some zombie, you know, anime porn thing, I'm like, no.
Has there been much of that? And if so, do you remember the names?
He's found some kind of racy stuff on there where it was like it was like a visual novel, but there was no nudity in it, but it was like leaning that way. And
sure.
Like,
yeah. A little sexy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But he'll find some teen games and he'll say, what about this one? This is rated teen. And he says, I just don't think this should be rated teen. That's his little quote that he uses on me. I don't think this is a justified rating here.
I've petitioned the board, but until that ruling comes through, Dad, perhaps just a quick download.
I think we should judge for ourselves. I don't think we should let society dictate to us what we should and shouldn't play.
Dad, aren't you the one who's always telling me to think for myself a little bit? And now I'm being punished for that? You're a hypocrite, Dad.
You've just summed up how being a parent backfires on you.
Right. Let me teach you valuable lessons that I don't want you to apply to this situation.
Yeah. Dad, why do you do that thing that you tell me never to do?
Yeah. Well, it's because you're Amish.
Yeah. He used to ask us about alcohol all the time. Like, what is it? And says, well, it's an adult thing and it, you know, makes you feel kind of funny. And a lot of it's not very good for you, but a little is good for you. Like, give him the explanation. What is alcohol? And then you always end it with the same sentence. It's an adult drink.
Yeah.
And that, oh God, that's for adults. Damn. Like, they totally buy that for the longest time. Like, oh, I guess I can't have it. Yeah, it's easy.
Yeah, until they become teenagers.
And then they get smart.
Like, wait a second.
This is bullshit you've been teaching me. Yeah. So anyway, Link Between Worlds, Mario Kart 7. They have Terraria, which is a great game. Yeah. Got into that on PC a little bit. They got that for that system. Got him that. I got him like Yoshi's Woolly World.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I remember seeing that one.
Yeah, I just went and like got a bunch of the top rated games.
Sure. And Link Between Worlds is amazing. Like if he gets into that. Holy crap.
The new Super Mario Brothers.
Super Mario 3D World? Maybe?
Yes, that
something
one.
Like that? Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. So I got him like the heights. So yeah, he gets to open those up in a couple days. So that'll be fun.
That's awesome, man. I look forward to seeing those pictures, actually. And I don't know if I've ever said that in my life before.
Yeah. Kid likes games. He's hooked, man.
That's great. That's great.
That's fun. That's fun.
Did I ever tell you my rule, not to interrupt your game time, but
no, that's cool.
My rule about vacation photos.
No, you have not told me your rule.
Please take this with you, listeners. Here's a little nugget of wisdom and apply this to your life and you're going to thank me later. If someone says, hey, I just got back vacation. Can I show you some pictures? You say, yes, I would like to see no more than 6. Pick those best 6 that you have, and I reserve the right to ask to see more. But chances are, if you show me a picture of the menu from the restaurant you ate at, yeah, then I'm going to punch you in the nose. Because you're wasting all our time. It. So why on God's green earth did you take a picture of that in the first place?
Here's the door to our room.
Right, right. This is the guy who worked the counter, by, at, you know, in the lobby. Yeah. And you're like, I don't.
His name was Marco or something. I forget.
Right, yeah. Like, if you show me a picture that's like, hey, here are dolphins leaping behind our cruise ship. It's like, oh, well, that's really cool. I'm more than happy to look at that.
Yeah.
But, you know, that's why I go best six with the option to renew.
Here's the best chicken piccata I ever had in my life. Great.
Right.
Didn't need to see that.
Like, and when you're also, when you're selecting your best, keep in mind your audience. Like, if you have a picture of the, I don't know why I keep going back to the cruise ship, but like one of the cruise ship hostesses that has a little bit of a club foot, and you take a picture of that, like, I want to see that. I don't care what the wine fountain looked like, but
would that be a would that be a carnival cruise ship?
Probably. Anyway, sorry.
Thank you.
Just a little life advice. Like I said, just when someone's like, "Oh, my kid had a birthday party," six, you get six.
Yeah. All right, I'll keep that in mind when I'm shooting them. Maybe I'll only shoot six.
No, like, as the parent, you shoot as much as you want. You just don't inflict it on the rest of the people.
Like, I kind of like that added pressure. Like, make them good. You only get six pictures.
Right, and then if you have to take a seventh and eighth, that means shit's popping off.
Yeah.
Six pictures, and you have to use an old-timey, like, super old-timey, everyone has to stand still for, like, 45 seconds.
Like the daguerreotype.
Yeah, yeah.
Where you get the big flashbulb, the poof, and then everybody don't move till Thursday.
Yeah, yeah.
Don't blink.
We only have six of these.
Yeah, no talking. Right.
These plates. Here's the good news. It's gonna make you all look like psychopaths. Why didn't they smile? Cause,
so weird.
Because everyone had to kill somebody else back then. They're all haunted by guilt and murder.
It's true. It's true. They all just see the spirits in front of them.
Yeah. Because all of them know, because they're all Christians, and they all know they're going to hell. It's the stare of someone that knows that death means damnation. Certainly.
I'm going to need a minute. That's just too good.
Oh, man.
I've never heard it described so succinctly. That's good shit, man.
Oh, yeah. I got a solid five on photography.
What were we talking about?
What have you been? You ever notice how many Civil War ghosts there are? Anyway, what you been playing, John?
Man, I live 45 minutes south of Gettysburg. I know exactly what you're talking about.
Oh, sure. You can probably hear them from there.
Now the wailing never stops.
Those damn ghosts.
Shut up.
Just banshees in the cemetery.
Trying to fucking sleep. Christ.
I get it.
I played The Long Dark, the new story mode.
Yeah, how is that, man?
It's okay. So the game is officially released now. There's like a lot more to it than when we had played it a long time ago. And then the story mode, what I think it's going for is it's trying to be like Firewatch. And you could see flashes of that in it. But at its core, it's just this fucking hardcore survival game that just kills you every chance it gets.
It really does murder you as much as it can.
And the story mode, so this is what I like about the story mode. It's essentially a hardcore training tutorial with a story happening at the same time. And it's like, okay, here's a task. You need to start a fire so you don't freeze to death. And then it doesn't tell you anything else. And you're like, okay, you walk around and you find some wood and you pick that shit up. And then you figure out that there's a menu system on it. It like literally, I don't even remember it telling me that I had to hit like the, I was playing on a controller and figured out you had to hit left bumper to get like a radial menu where you can select things like build a campfire, drink water, eat food. You can have a weapon. But the story mode has fail states in it, where if you don't complete the one task and basically what happens is you freeze to death constantly because you don't do the thing in time. So you try to start the campfire and then it does like a little cutscene, and that's like a save point. And then it says day two, you're like, guy falls asleep exhausted because he's been in a plane crash and he's stranded in the woods. And day two comes up and now your task is gather more wood and find some cloth so you can make bandages to patch your wounds or whatever. So you do this, those two tasks, but it's really fucking hard to not freeze to death in that game. It's really hard. So in the first 3 hours that I've played of story mode, let's see, I've died 1, 2, 3, 4 times. I fell to my death because I could not figure out where to go to get more supplies. So I just said I should try climbing down these rocks, and I fell and died.
Mm-hmm.
I was so cold and so hungry that I passed out into my campfire and burned to death.
That's pretty good. It's a good way to go.
Yeah.
I mean, in a video game.
Otherwise,
it'd be horrifying.
Oh, my God. I was looting supplies to try to find, I was trying to find food. I was just trying to complete, like, this, like the next task is, okay, you sprained your ankle, you need to go find these berries, and then you need to combine them with water and boil them over a campfire to create this medicinal berry drink, and you can drink that. And then it heals you inside, and your sprained ankle feels better, which allows you to climb up out of this valley you're trapped in. So that's like a task. But all along that while, it's freezing fucking cold, and nighttime comes along, and so I was out looting for supplies to try to complete one of these tasks, and I got into a car and I noticed it was like 6 degrees warmer in the car, mostly because I wasn't out in the freezing cold wind and it was night and I was like dying. And I'm like, I'll just sleep in this car because it's warm. And I hit the sleep button and then the screen turns red and it says, you died because you froze to death.
So didn't stay warm for long.
Don't sleep in that car.
Yeah.
And then the other one that I wrote down, the specific message that it gave me, it said, you have died due to blood loss and shock from a wolf attack. Sucked. So even just getting through the tutorial, you're still battling the survival aspect of the game. I think it's kind of stopped teaching me things at this point. There might be some more complicated crafting or something that it tries to tutorialize a little bit. Playing it for about 3 hours, I've got the basic mechanics. It's the hardest thing in that game, I think, is figuring out the menu system on it. It's really complicated, and the way that you move around it. Maybe I should try it on PC actually and see if I like it.
Yeah,
on a controller, it's kind of fucked up. It's not right.
It's just like space bar on PC to bring up that radial menu, and then you just use the mouse. Yeah, it's a lot easier. It's easy to pick. I played it for about 30 minutes. I made it through the first night, and then I had to stop and do some work. But
in the story mode?
Yeah, story mode. Okay, I think cool. The last time I played that game was probably 9 or 10 months ago, and it looks a lot nicer than it did a long time ago. I got the Firewatch vibe too. I think he's heavily inspired by some other like post-apocalyptic novels, One Second After, I think, was one that's about like an EMP that goes off, and then it's like, you know, there's no electronics and everyone's just kind of figuring out what to do because they don't have TVs and stuff. I've seemed to remember him writing about how he's inspired by a lot of novels like that for this game. So like the Winter Mute thing is a reference
to
Neuromancer.
Yeah. Okay.
And yeah, so I think he's going to do some cool stuff with the story, but I think Firewatch came out at the right time, you know, while he was making that, and maybe took some benefit from that and was like, oh, well, if I just kind of do something like this, but ramp up the survival, people will probably be into that. And I think that would be perfectly fine if there's a
the survival aspect of it is pretty interesting. Like, it's slow and plodding. Like, if you don't want to sit and wait frozen at a campfire while you cook something in the game, this game is not for you. Like, you have to do that a lot. Like, here's a branch on the ground, and I want to break that down into firewood, and that takes 10 seconds of staring at a loading menu for it to happen, and then you get it, and time passes in the game. So it's very, like, a deliberate thing.
This is DayZ without the zombies and without other people.
It's but pain in the ass wolves.
Yeah, it's a much more, it's kind of like a game you kind of want to sort of zen out on a little bit.
It can get stressful though, because
it can get stressful. Yeah,
you're constantly dying. You're constantly dying in that game. I need to go outside and accomplish these things, but it's 24 degrees Celsius below. Fuck. Oh, I can survive outside for 5 minutes. Great.
I don't know if you noticed when you load that game up too, there's a very explicit warning that's like, do not try to do the things that you see in this game to survive in the wilderness.
Yeah.
It will get you killed. This is just a video game.
Yeah. You know, I like the line on there about, we know wolves don't usually approach people.
Yeah.
Wonder how many emails they got.
So many.
You know, I've played a very, very little bit of Long Dark ultimately. And I just
no better time to play Long Dark right now.
I just don't think it's my kind of fun.
Yeah.
It's there. I just don't like being brutally killed again and again without some sense of progression, or I don't know. I mean, I guess
what I think this story mode does, though, is it kind of teaches you how to play by. It makes it a little bit easier. Like in the sandbox, you can just go anywhere in that game. And this one, it's like, take this path and we will lead you to supplies and story and things to do that help you learn how to play the game. So I think
I'll give the tutorial a shot. I'll be curious. Yeah. I thought the game had a lot of style and, you know,
let me tell you what I don't like about the story mode.
But you just sold me on it, John.
The story is the part I don't like. The story mode. Did you get into any cutscenes, Justin, when you played?
No, I don't think so. Okay. I know something about when dude's wife in the plane with him or something.
Yeah, there's the like the opening scene just kind of makes you cringe a little bit because it's just some of the, I don't know, I don't want to spoil anything, but some of the tropiness of it is really bad.
But it has some legit voice actors, like the guy who was Solid Snake is like the guy voice actor, David Hayter or whatever.
David Hayter, yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, I have to pay attention to the writing because it seemed like, I don't know if you remember the Hatchet novels. You remember those from, it was like a young adult novel series and like about a kid who, plane crashes in Alaska and has to survive, and it's just like, oh, okay, this is just like that basic setup, you know.
Yeah, it's there's a forced romantic element that seems really dumb, and I don't know. Yeah. Anyway, story in story mode is not my favorite thing, but the the gameplay of it is actually pretty decent. So
the helpfulness of it is nice.
Yeah, I mean, like, it's exactly what Bo said. I just got brutalized over and over and over by this game every time I ever played sandbox mode. So I'm curious to complete a little bit of the story mode and then try playing sandbox mode and see what I can do. So.
All right. Yeah, I'll give it a day in court. Gentlemen, dove back into Legend of Zelda Breath of the Wild. But I had a good reason to get back into it because I bought a Switch.
Oh, really? Nice.
Yeah.
Did you just happen upon one, or were you actively seeking one out?
No, I'd been kind of looking around because I'll tell you why I was kind of hot on the idea is because I really want to play that Mario Rabbids game. That thing looks fucking bizarre.
XCOM,
right, because I love XCOM, and you whip a little weirdness on it. And also the kind of, the combo system of like, hey, I can land on this dude, which will launch me into a different move set. Seems like a real cool twist on typical XCOM gameplay. And I thought it just looks too weird to pass up. And plus, I just love shit like that, right? It's like a new toy. So, yeah, I picked one up and, I've been kind of replaying Breath of the Wild, as a go.
And, does it look better than on the Wii U?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, it's not crazy better, but it's definitely better. And
are you just playing handheld or are you doing it through the TV?
I've done both.
Oh, nice.
And
have you played it while you're pooping?
I haven't
now played Zelda. Now the hard-hitting questions here.
Right, all right. Yeah, let's get into it.
Diane Sawyer over here.
Is this thing a shitter or not?
Could I? 100% I could. Have I yet? No. But now that you've said it, why haven't I?
Ultimate toiletry. The ultimate toiletry.
It is the ultimate toiletry. I'm like, the problem with that is eventually my legs go numb and I have a heart attack and die.
Yeah.
Because it is the ultimate toiletry.
You gotta install a handle in the ceiling to help you get up for when that happens.
Right.
Because your legs are just gone at that point.
Yeah, just one more shrine. Just one more shrine and then I'll get up. And then I'll wipe.
Just go full like an electric lift. Just mount like a garage door opener on the ceiling of your bathroom.
That's making a lot of commitments to a lifestyle I'm not sure I'm ready for yet.
I love the thought that it just dumps you off the toilet like it's it just tips
into the
forward.
Shower. Those are just tips
you sideways into the bathtub.
Yeah.
But it's like kind of bucks like a bowl just a little bit. It kind of shakes you into the bathtub.
Right, just on a hinge where you're and then you're in the shower. It's pressure sensor in the shower so that when it dumps you in there, the water turns on automatically. Yeah. Let's keep it as low impact as possible.
The Japanese make great stuff these days.
Yeah, the Switch thing sounds great, man.
Yeah. It's getting better every second.
So what other games do you have for it? Just
That and Hollow Knight I picked up, which played a little bit of. There's not, in fairness, like the first party stuff that's out there. I do want to check out Platoon, but I'm just not, or not Platoon. I'm looking forward to Splatoon. Oliver Stone's
Nintendo's Platoon.
Nintendo's Oliver Platoon. Stone's Nintendo's Platoon, in
oh
which
my God.
Mario is torn between Waluigi and Wa-Mario.
And Tom Berenger.
And Tom Berenger.
we haven't had Tom on the show in a while.
Yeah. Oh, man, that's a... Just that guy looks like a bar fight on legs.
Feeling good's good enough, guys.
It's good enough.
But yeah, so this Switch thing is pretty cool. I think it's a really, really like fascinating device in a lot of ways. Like I haven't picked up like ARMS or something like that where it makes heavy, heavy use of the Switch controllers off of the base. Where you're just kind of holding the controllers like a knucklehead. I haven't played a bunch of games like that. It's mostly been using it as either a handheld. But there's something really captivating about playing Zelda on the TV and literally just picking up the pad and walking away with it. And it looks the same but smaller, you know? That's pretty impressive. I mean, and of course they're not shooting for like a PS4. It's amazing how small this thing is. Holy crap. It is. It's smaller than you think it is. However small you think it is, it's smaller than that.
And you can virtual console probably a ton of stuff as well, right?
Oh yeah. The eShop is sick with that stuff, of course.
So that's super awesome.
And it's, you know, other people much smarter than I have said this, but it's such a great platform for those kind of, you know, not B tier, just that indie tier of platformers and stuff that are kind of these artisan video game experiences like Hollow Knight and Shovel Knight and shit like that. And it's such a great platform for that. It's the greatest, almost a handheld device that I think ever was. And like I said, it's really neat to be able to just kind of slide it into the dock and then you're good to go. And then you can just play on a regular controller if you want.
Slide it in there.
Just put it in the slot, man. you take that switch and you put it in the slot.
All right.
So you I've got
a little too much.
The switch slot.
Yeah, that's my Billy Zane voice on the Twin Peaks podcast.
Oh, man. That's
creepy, yeah.
Wow, Billy Zane and Tom Berenger both.
Yeah.
Again.
But yeah. I'm getting a case delivered tomorrow that's kind of like this ruggedized kind of case for it. And so I haven't toted around with me a lot, even though it's perfect for that, because it's such a small device that I'm worried that I'm going to get break it, you know? So anyway, once that comes in, I think I'm just going to start toting that to work with me and playing a little Zelda over lunch. It seems like a pretty good way to go. But yeah, it's a really neat device. I'm once the Mario Rabbit thing comes out this month, I believe. So, and yeah, I'd been looking for one for a couple of days and Amazon one popped up, or, you know, I guess they got a batch or whatever. And, snagged one of those and I'm now a proud Switch owner. I think it's a really neat device. I wish there were more that like the first party stuff that I want to play for it right now. Like I wouldn't have double dipped on Breath of the Wild if I were interested in Mario Kart and blah, blah, blah. But it was like, well, once available, I know I want to get one. And the only thing I really want to keep playing is Zelda. So, you know, when the Mario Rabbids things, like our conversations are going to get fucking weird when that game comes out. And I'm like trying to explain to you like, well, all right. So Mario hops on a rabbit, which shoots him in the ear.
I was looking around for a Switch to give Daniel for his birthday instead of the 3DS, and I thought I should do this in stages.
Yeah,
leave somewhere to go, you know.
Yeah, but it you know, as stupid as it sounds, the thing that they show you in the commercial of like, just pick it up, dummy, just pick it up and take it with you. I think they put it a little kinder than that in the ads, but. But that there's a sensation that goes along with that act that almost feels like you shouldn't be able to do this. You know, it feels like you're getting away with something. Like, do people know I have this?
Like it's a magic trick. You need to say Shazam or some special word before you do it.
You know, I mean, say what you will about Nintendo, and we've certainly, you know, busted their chops on this show. But their hardware has always been at least interesting. There's always been kind of an idea behind it at the very least. And things like when, you know, the 3DS came out and it was like, well, this is 3D without glasses. And what kind of wizardry is this? Mm-hmm. And it remains super cool. There is something about that I think is really neat, even if it's not necessarily the most practical application of gameplay. So, yeah, this just feels like that kind of thing of, like, yeah, Nintendo kind of has this design idea, and sometimes it hits like it did with the Wii. Sometimes it doesn't like it didn't with the Wii U. Go ahead, I'm sorry.
No, I was going to say, I always respect them for what they try to do. It might not always, what they end up doing might not always, be great. You know, you mentioned those other consoles, but they always have, it seems like they always have the best of intentions, and they are trying things where other people are just iterating on things.
As opposed to more speed, more graphics, that kind of thing. Nintendo is just like, we're not going to play that game because we can't compete with that. So instead, here's this console that is going to play, you know, pretty much everything you want to play in one form or another. And also it goes everywhere, and that's pretty neat. I'm really curious. Like, this is one of those systems that I think a year from now is going to be real robust with great software and stuff. It's a little thin right now, but it's still cool. And like I said, playing stuff like Hollow Knight is it's such a great format for those kinds of games. I don't believe Darkest Dungeon is available for it yet, but holy shit, would
that be coming out though, right?
I think so. And that is,
yeah, I thought I heard that. That sounds like a perfect game for that thing.
Exactly. That's another real perfect fit kind of thing. So yeah, stuff like that. Like that would be totally my handheld platform of choice. All right. I'll tell you what, guys, we should probably take a quick break here. And then we come back with some news. What do you say about that? What do you think about that, guys?
Pie you say.
Why are you all in my face, man?
Pie you
what
say.
Do you think, man? What do you want to go? You want to go do some news?
Yeah, I want to go. Man. I want to go do some news.
You want to fucking go, man?
Hello, this is the Doom Show. Keep on keeping on and keep on trucking, America. We don't listen to our feedback because we don't get any.
The truth hurts.
I just alienated the two people that give us constant feedback. Sorry, guys.
That's gotta go.
That's gotta go in there.
So on the show, we talk about giallo movies and slasher movies and cult movies. Sometimes we even talk about Cameron Mitchell and his movies. I am Richard. Who are you?
I'm Brad, the guy that's not Richard, or Jeffrey, or Simon.
That's right, we have four people, and we always talk at once, except to each other.
Jeffrey lives up north, Simon lives across the world, Richard lives in Penis, Alabama.
Hello, This is the Doom Show is a proud member of the Legion Podcast Network. Check out the other shows on legionpodcast.com. You can check out more Hello, This is the Doom Show at hellodoomshow.podomatic.com or at doommoviethon.com.
Check for our Amazon exclusive Hello, This is the Doom Show cookbook.
Do you like hot dogs?
We got them.
Do you like mac and cheese?
We got it.
Do you like cheddar?
We have it.
Actually, we don't.
No cheddar.
Just Colby. Colby Jack.
Hello, this is the Doom Show. We never gave up on you because you never gave up on us.
Wow.
So, speaking of scary movies, I went to see The Dead Zone last weekend at the Full Moon Cineplex.
Like the old Dead Zone?
Yeah, like the old Christopher Walken Dead Zone.
Yeah, and that's a good one.
Yeah, great movie. And so I'd never been to the Full Moon Cineplex before.
Yeah, neither have I.
Keep your expectations low. the picture is not great when the Stars logo popped up in the lower right. I thought that was telling. But all that being said, seeing The Dead Zone at like 9 o'clock on a Saturday with a bunch of nerds who wanted to go see The Dead Zone at 9 o'clock on a Saturday was pretty fun.
Yeah, I mean, I guess that's more the aspect of it. It would be nice if everything else was better.
Yes.
And it wasn't most obviously just a pirated copy from the internet or just on Stars where they're paying for it or
right. My theory is that they just have a cable subscription and they're like
Stars on demand.
Hey, what's on HBO this month?
The Brood, wasn't that another The Brood, isn't that another
Cronenberg?
What's his? Yeah, isn't The Dead Zone song, is it Cronenberg?
Yeah, sure.
It's Cronenberg, is it? Okay. Yeah, The Brood, that's a fucking,
it's a great movie,
weird ass one.
Hey, it is great. Has Rick and Morty started back up?
Yeah.
Go ahead. Rick Mancing the Stone, and the next episode is Pickle Rick.
Nice. I haven't watched any of them yet. I gotta get on that.
And the Pickle Rick episode is supposed to be literally Rick turns himself into a pickle, and he basically, this is just from the promo, tells everyone to fuck off, that he has the greatest idea in the world, and then he accidentally gets dropped into a sewer, and he, as a pickle, he has to, with no arms and no legs, he has to, like, escape the sewer.
Struggle back. Nice.
Yeah. And he, like, Iron Man, he, like, kills a bunch of rats, and, like, Iron Man's a rat suit or something. Yeah.
Fucking awesome.
It looks amazing. Yeah. It's just the best.
We were once again talking about The Dead Zone, John. I feel like I talk about that movie all the time on every podcast I do. sometimes it's relevant, sometimes it's not, but it all comes back to the Dead Zone for me.
That's the Christopher Walken, Martin Sheen, Stephen King movie?
Yes. Yes. Martin Sheen is a...
Martin Sheen's fucking phenomenal in that movie.
Surprisingly Trumpian.
Yes.
Yeah.
Fucking fantastic.
Yeah.
There are a lot of really good movies from that in, like, around the Dead Zone. Like, when I think of the Dead Zone, I think of so many other great movies, and I guess they all are all basically Cronenberg movies. Because isn't Crash also a Cronenberg movie?
Oh, yeah.
The not shitty Crash.
The one where Rosanna like Arquette offers someone to fuck her scar.
Yes. Yes. Uh-huh. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
It's good stuff.
And because of all the Twin Peaks stuff, I've been on a big Lynch kick as well.
So you're in a weird spot right now, is what you're
saying. I'm in a weird place, man. I have, I've seen both original seasons, you know, a couple of times at this point. That was all well trod territory. But then went on to watch Firewalk with Me, Missing Pieces, which is 90 minutes of extended and deleted footage.
Mm-hmm.
Then read The Secret Diary of Laura Palmer, which was the book published between seasons 1 and 2. And then The Secret History of Twin Peaks, which was published a few months before the Showtime series returned. And then I watched the first two episodes of the Showtime series.
And your head exploded.
Holy shit, it's so good. Oh, it's so good.
I haven't watched any of it, but my girlfriend has been watching it, and she's probably the number one Twin Peaks fan that I know. And I have heard her head explode from the other room multiple times.
Snap!
Yeah, no, in the first 2 hours, there were at least 3 moments where it was like, the fuck? And
just a headshot sound effect. Whack!
Yeah, it's... there is some great weird stuff happening on that show, and it's leaned heavily into all the supernatural stuff, which was the stuff I always thought was cool anyway. And yeah, it's really weird. There's a Doppel Cooper running around having bunches of the sex.
All I know the concept of Dougie. I call him Lil Dougie Cooper. Just the concept of what he is has been described to me, and it's insane.
Yeah. Yeah. Stupid. It really is. And when you realize that one of the characters on the show is the flesh and blood embodiment of one of the other characters' severed arms, which is a thing that is true in Twin Peaks.
It is some Metal Gear Solid.
Nice.
Types.
It's just it's just David Lynch being David Lynch, but like it's dismissive to say it's just weird for the sake of being weird, because there really is meaning behind all of it. And and I contend that Firewalk with Me is one of his best movies, and is horrifying as a film. It's a dark movie. Like, don't watch that movie if you plan to just be around people or talk to children. Like, you'll just spoil their lives. But anyway, so yeah, I've been in a weird place because of all that. And there's only one thing to get me out of it. He says, segwaying.
What could that possibly be?
A Kojima David Lynch joint.
Oh, are you kidding me? Well, that kind of looks like what Death Stranding could kind of be. That, like, the thing people don't realize about David Lynch is he loves to get gory for no reason at times.
Yeah.
And that's always a delight. Like if you ever saw Wild at Heart, like the head getting shot off Willem Dafoe.
Yeah.
And you're just like, that was unnecessary. Anyway. But the thing that's going to pull us all out of this particular hole is video game news, John. And when I get my video game news, I get it from the best. And when the best isn't available, I get it from you.
That's right.
And that guy's on vacation.
That's right. When that guy's on vacation.
Yeah. When and that guy's been sacked. Who's
house-sitting for him is not available.
when the dog that was there to be dog sat. Also,
like, nah.
Yeah, he just straight turned us down.
Yeah,
he wasn't unavailable.
Didn't even return our calls.
Yeah, he was like, "Ruff." I was like, "Ugh." That hurts, Rex. It hurts.
Yeah, you were walking back to the car, and I bumped into you on the sidewalk. Yeah, something like that.
Yeah, yeah. You're going down, Rex. You fuck me. You fuck me good. Anyway, news, video game news, John.
I wish I had some video game news for you. All I've got is this shitty politics.
Ugh.
Ugh.
Yeah.
I hate it when video games and politics mix.
It's inevitable.
It is, though.
Yeah, anywhere money is involved, it seems like politics always shows up and fucks it up. So, let's see. Was it this weekend? It was this last weekend at the... During a panel, I'm going to read this right out of the article here. During a panel at the 2017 Games for Change Festival yesterday, representatives for Electronic Arts and Take-Two Interactive discussed the Trump administration as it relates to their company's interests, focusing their complaints on three significant issues across domestic and foreign policy: immigration, education, and trade. They argued that the White House isn't doing what's best for the U.S. game industry. This article is on Polygon, and it goes on to explain parts of Trump's immigration plans will disrupt specifically gaming companies' ability to hire foreign talent, which seems pretty obvious. I don't know. Like, yeah. I don't know how much politics I want to get into on this, but it's like...
You're
fucking with my games right now.
Yeah, bro.
Not only that, well, you know, when the article goes on to talk about, and to me, this is the more alarming thing almost,
yeah,
is when they talk about the current administration's attitude about broadband. Yeah. And
just let counties figure it out, and they'll get fucked and locked in by some, you know, one single provider who's the only one that'll go to an area. Everybody will get fucking turf, and shitty internet will be really expensive. Like, what kind of a fucking solution is that?
Right. And you know, yeah. And it's good that the people in the video game industry getting involved at least to the level of making the issue known. And that's been one of the big, like, touchstones for me over the past few months, ever since this guy who, you know, sued the FCC against the, you know, like, the Title II stuff. Ever since he was appointed the chairman of the FCC, it was like, well, that bodes terribly for people who are into the idea of net neutrality. And... Yeah. So it's been something I've been keeping an eye on, and it continues to be weird. Like there's a lot of question marks around the days that they allow the public to comment on the things that they're considering.
Yeah.
And the website was down for some of that. And they claimed it was a DDoS attack. There's really no proof of that. It seems like maybe they just kind of shut it down because they were getting hammered by people saying...
Well, that's the funny thing, is what they're calling a DDoS attack was a bunch of people trying to complain on their fucking website. Yeah, you got DDoS because your opinion is unpopular on this and people are calling your office, you know?
You got DDoS by democracy.
Yeah, motherfucker.
Just be like, we had this website on like three servers,
yeah,
and like, you know, 500,000 people tried to, you know, yeah, access it, and it
once
just
we got to 30 concurrent users, the servers just couldn't handle it.
Yeah. I totally would believe our government being like, yeah, our internet websites for our intranet or whatever aren't that good. Yeah. You know, that's not gonna blow me away.
No.
I'm gonna be like, yep, that pretty much makes sense to me. Facebook's not making the, yeah, you know, government.gov websites, you know.
You mean the website that was built by the lowest bidder, that website.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. You know, like where I go to check like my county, you know, plates is a website from like 1997.
Yeah. Oh, it's all WordPress. I mean? Like,
yeah. It's just bad. We get it.
Do you use like a Netscape Navigator to go to that website? Maximize your compatibility.
I have a virtual machine of Windows 3.1.
Nice. Run some Lotus Notes. Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah, so this is like, I don't know, finally there's like a, you know, it relates into, I mean, it did before, but like this is kind of a specific example of Trump's administration's policies interfering with, you know, yet another thing I want to be a certain way, video games. So I don't understand why you have to draw a line that says a brilliant person who's capable of doing what I think is one of the hardest things you can do on a computer, which is create a video game. Like, you have to be some kind of genius ass programmer to be able to do that. Why you wouldn't want to let that person into your country to do that in your country? I don't get it. It makes zero sense to me. I will never understand an argument that would keep someone who's a brilliant person, an educated person, from coming into your country. Why? We only want dumb people here.
Well, but, I mean, the thrust of it, though, was that they're still bringing those people into the country just at a much smaller number.
Yeah.
So that.
Why? Like, I don't.
Yeah, right. I mean, it's. Yeah. Yes, it's stupid. Yes.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's not like they're shutting it down or they're, you know, indiscriminately saying like, hey, no one can come. It's more of, look, we're only going to take so many, far fewer than we normally do. And because of that restriction, you know, it's throttling, mm-hmm. throttling the talent pipeline is what I call it when I masturbate.
It boils down to just like a human issue for me. I don't think you should be able to tell people where to go.
Well,
it also sucks working for a video game company and being a coder. So they want people who are willing to work, you know, the crazy hours and are willing to do just about anything. I know I've had several friends who used to work in the video game industry who now work for just like super plain Jane software companies because the atmosphere is night and day between like, oh, well, you're working 7 days straight, mm-hmm. 40 hours, you know, or 60 hours a week. Whereas you go to some, you know, stupid little website and make software and it's 40 hours a week. It's super laid back. So there's a demand for these people. So that's what's going to suck. I mean, that's the, you know, the video game companies are willing to hire them.
Yeah. Well, and then I always hear the argument like, well, why don't you just hire people from the United States to do these jobs? Because they aren't here. Like, I don't understand. I don't know. So we'll get the boring, shitty ass story out of the way up front here.
Yeah, it's a bummer.
Let's get to diagnosing people with medical conditions.
Yeah, that's actually interesting as well.
One of my favorite hobbies.
This article is titled, Psychologist Says Rush to Pathologize Video Game Addiction is Dangerous. Let me find a good summary paragraph to just blast through real quick here. Dr. Anthony M. Bean, a licensed clinical psychologist in Texas, thinks that the idea of video game addiction is misguided at best and dangerous at worst. He and his colleagues suggest that efforts to include this new category of disease in diagnostic manuals is driven not by sound science, but by a climate of moral panic and political pressure. He goes on to discuss specifically gaming addiction and that there is an effort to try to have it defined specifically in the DSM, the Diagnostic and Statistical Manual, which is like a psychology manual. Then there's also the International Compendium of Diseases. They're trying to officially have it declared as an addiction. And this guy's been, has written some stuff and done a few studies where his concern is that they just put it in with like drug addiction. They copied the drug addiction sentence and then just said, yeah, video games are just addictive like drugs. You know, people can't help themselves. And it's a far more fine argument than that is kind of the gist of this guy's complaint.
Yeah.
Is there a, they wanted to make it like a DSM classification, like you have schizophrenia, like you have video game addiction. My thing, here's my thing. In Willy Wonka, there's a character, and his name is Mike TV.
That's right.
And that kid watches TV 24/7, 365, and you can't pull him away from it. Certainly there are, you know, Mike TV's a real kid somewhere, and there isn't a DSM classification for television addiction. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You can be addicted to anything. I think until we get to the point where virtual reality is indistinguishable from real life and there's someone who just literally lives inside of a computer, then we need to worry about like the VR plague and the mental repercussions of only being exposed to video games your entire life. But, you know, right now you got a window you can look outside and see that there's a world out there still. You know what I mean?
The DSM is effectively the Encyclopedia of Recognized Psychological Disorders in the U.S. and carries weight in things like clinical practice, health insurance coverage, criminal litigation, and governmental legislation. So this is like the official handbook of brain problems, I guess. What is this? Where was this? Oh, this was the interesting part for me. It was the... in the whole field of video game addiction, Bean told Polygon, using air quotes for emphasis, the incidence ranges all the way from 8% all the way up to 50% of the gaming population, depending on which study you decide to look at. So all of these studies that are being used to possibly define it in the DSM have crazy different results. Like, you can't possibly discern from the data they're getting. It's half of the people that play video games are addicted to video games, or 0.8% of them are. So
they also talk about it being a thing in like Korea, like noticing people are addicted there. The study kind of, I know they mentioned Korea in there, and it seemed to me like less it's video games and more the esports and the you know, monetary side of it too.
And that's just gambling. That's what they're addicted to.
Yeah, and that's just gambling.
That's what they're addicted to.
Yeah. I mean, are video slots video games? Yeah. Is video poker video games? I mean, it's...
Money is far more addictive than video games.
Yeah, I mean, it might be StarCraft, but where's the adrenaline rush coming from? Is it coming from winning the match, or is it coming from winning the money? You know,
winning the competition, being the best at something is always a pretty good feeling. So this is interesting. Like, this, I feel like this kind of argument comes up all the time, and it's usually around the same time a bunch of articles will pop out, and it's, you know, video game violence is terrible for your fucking children, and it's turning them all into murderers. And okay, well, then I should be a murderer technically. All of us, and it's just like,
have the same haunting stare of the daguerreotypes.
That's right.
Yes.
But it's there's never any eyes. Like, you know, peer reviewed, you know, agreed upon scientific data to, like, back this up. Like, it's either nobody's figured out a proper way to study it, or it's just far more complicated than anybody has determined. It's like, can you be, that's one of the things that one of the guys says in the article, like, well, what about football? Can you be addicted to watching football?
Sure.
Probably. Yeah. But like, is everybody who watches football every single week, you know, several games a day on Sunday for months at a time, are they all addicted to football? No, they probably just have a good time watching it. Like people who play video games.
Yeah. I mean, you could be pathological about anything.
Yeah, exactly.
So, yeah, right. It's there are people who are pathological, and as a result, it doesn't matter what it is. It could be collecting stamps or video games or whatever. They're just going to be a little off their nut about it.
And it's a personality type. It's not
right. Yeah. And video games are great for that, because, you know, they're big endorphin releases and their highs and lows and all that stuff. You know, kind of like gambling, not quite the same, but there are those emotional responses that you have, and kind of, you know, lizard brain responses that you have to certain stimuli in video games that can be a rush. And yeah, so it's a perfect fit. Somebody that's pathological, and here's this thing that can get you a little high, you know. But does it deserve its own classification? No.
Mm-hmm. So this sentence kind of freaked me out here, or this paragraph.
I say that as an expert in psychology.
Yeah. Gaming addiction currently exists in the DSM-5 as a condition for further study and is not currently scheduled to be added, but revisions are delivered on a semi-regular basis. Until then, Bean says both clinicians and rehab programs are in uncharted territory. If you Google video game addiction, there's camps here in the United States, Bean said. You'll just see hundreds pop up. It's insane. And people will send their kids to these wilderness programs for the summer thinking, oh, they're going to cure my video game addiction. That's creepy. Like, sure, send your kids to camp and have fun out in nature and stuff. But under the guise of curing them of video game addiction just sounds like Jesus campy to me. It's weird. Brainwash my child to not like video games, please.
Right. What kind of dirtbag father you have to be for that?
sounds like Heavyweights when Ben Stiller shows up.
I've never seen that.
Yeah. I wonder,
nobody will get that reference. Nobody's seen that movie.
No. Yeah. I don't even want to explain it.
Is he like a former fatty that is like yelling at the kids?
A bunch of fat kids go to fat camp. I'm going to say fat a bunch of times here in succession. I don't mean offense to anybody. It's just the basis of the movie. A bunch of fat kids go to fat camp where under the guise of losing weight, but secretly the fat camp's just like, hey, we're all fat. And we just kind of hang out all summer. And then the camp gets sold within the first like 45 minutes of the movie to like Ben Stiller. And he's like this super, like, you know, jazzercise, exercise, hard, you know, workout kind of guy. And, you know, just turns the camp upside down and the hilarity ensues from there. And the kids pretty much revolt against him. But it's great.
Yeah, that movie sounds all right. Now that you've pitched it to me, I'm on board.
Yeah.
Sounds like the Bad News Bears formula.
Well, and I like the thing that most appeals to me is the first 45 minutes where it's just a bunch of fat kids hanging out at a camp being like, we're just going to chill this summer.
Yeah. It quite literally is. It's like, hey, we've got this like lake and we've got this big like balloon thing that people jump off of. And then they're like, hey, we're all big guys so we can make each other go like super high. And there's like a whole like, you know, scene of them making people like fly. You ever seen the thing where like it's like a big inflatable tube and one person hits one end and it's kind of like a seesaw where, you know, just pushes the air and makes the other person, you know, jump through the air. It's a hilariously wonderful movie.
I think I saw one in a Sunkist commercial once.
Yeah, probably Sunny D or something.
Feels right.
Moving on. Let's talk about some pubs.
Yeah. Lot of pubs news.
So we're all addicted to playing pubs. It's scientific fact.
It's a fun game. Like
5 million other people.
Yeah. So their new update that's coming out, is it out now?
It's out.
Yeah.
It's out. It's been hot fixed a couple times.
All right. So we've got first person servers. And those are available in single player and duos, and that is it, correct?
That is it at the moment.
Okay. And what other updates were there? They patched in Justin's favorite controller support.
Yeah, that's great.
I'm curious to see how it works.
I'd be interested to see what. I mean, it's not the way to play that game. I'm not saying
it's going to be trash, but it'll be interesting to see what it does.
But yeah, there is something fascinating about like, well, because they're going to take that game to console, so this is their proving ground for that.
Yeah. And it's like might as well start working on it now, kind of deal.
Not even that. I'm just curious. Like, how the fuck do you do that?
I don't know how they're going to do like the I'm running straight, but I just want to turn my head. Like, games always kind of struggle with that.
I think that's right stick. You it's just rotate be a the bumper. Game.
Bumpers, maybe. Yeah. Could be.
You would like hold like a
modifier button or something. Yeah.
Just
like the left trigger, right stick will. Yeah. You could get away with that. That'd be all right.
Yeah.
All right. I'm curious. I do want to try that.
Optimized memory, optimized terrain, optimized vehicle physics. They added a new weapon, a DMR.
It's awesome.
Yeah.
It does 60 damage, so you can basically one-shot people if they have taken any amount of damage, which is nuts. I watched a video with a guy who found it and got a suppressor, and it was insane. It sounds the sound is stupid. It's awesome.
That's something I love about that game is the sound effects are
yes,
really nice.
Their audio engine is pretty cool.
Well, they added horns. I saw a bunch of videos. Yeah. You previously couldn't honk horns in cars, and now left mouse button will do it. But I already saw a bunch of videos of instead of stream sniping all these popular streamers for pubs, the guys that have been kind of controversial lately. What was the dude we talked about last week?
Dr. Disrespect.
Yeah, Dirty Nick.
Dr. Detroit.
Dirty Nick. Yeah. Kunkle Larry.
Ew.
He,
I don't want to go in the basement.
There's video of him and some guy repeatedly driving near him and just holding down the horn on the car. And
that's then, pretty yeah. good.
When he starts shooting at him, he drives away. So instead of stream sniping him, they're stream honking.
Well, that's how 4chan got Shia LaBeouf when he was hiding that flag across America and live streaming it. At one point, he was just like that he will not, whatever, I don't know what his project was, but he just had a live stream of a flag in a field, and there are people watching the live stream, and people, they had figured out roughly where it was in Tennessee, and then people would just honk their horns while driving, and people on the live stream would be like, I can hear the horn now. You're getting closer.
That's
you know,
funny.
Like, yeah. I think that's great. I mean, the whole stream sniping thing, it sucks. It sucks. But
how bad is that? Like, there's things you can do to combat it is the argument that you hear on the other side. It's like, oh, well, you can put a delay on your stream and it makes it harder
exactly.
for them to fucking find you. And then the other argument is, well, I don't want to delay my stream because it makes it harder to interact with chat. And then the next argument is, well, what are you trying to provide here? Are you providing a show where you talk to the audience, or are you providing a show where the audience watches you play games?
Yeah, I think, you know, it's going to get to a point maybe where the streamers, where maybe it's easy to do new servers, and you know, you're a big name streamer guy, they just spool up a server for you, and you know, maybe you've got a pool of people that join that server that are you know, the people who you have some pool of people who want to play with you, obviously, who are going to be like, yeah, I'm not going to watch your stream and snipe you, as opposed to them just jumping in regular games and streaming that, and then obviously people are going to do everything to mess with you, you know.
Well, it's kind of a pain in the ass to stream snipe in this game, because you can't just, there's no lobby menu, you got to kind of watch the stream and figure out what server number they're on and then try to join at the same time they're joining. Like, it's not like this definite thing. Like, sure, it happens, but I don't know. Like, how widespread
it feels like
of
it's
a problem,
a little
you know?
Overblown. Yeah, it feels like the publicity on it is a little more than what the actual problem is, for sure.
I mean, if you're one of these top streamers that this is happening to, I think that just kind of comes with the territory. Like, until they figure out, like, you're making money for playing video games.
Yeah, and what is the real detriment to you?
Seriously. Oh, yeah, that guy fucked up my game. Well, play another one. You know?
Yeah, plenty of us get killed early in game, you know.
Put another quarter in and go again, man.
It's also the same thing. Like, I've seen a couple of those guys complain about when someone's going to die outside the circle and you're trying to kill people. Like, you know, like there have been times where I'm like, I'm going to die. I'm going to stop and I'm going to try and kill these guys that are chasing us that are also trying to get in the circle. I'm just going to try and take one out. And I've seen a couple of those guys who are like, people who do that, you know, suck. Why would you do that? I'm like, because it's a strategy.
Because it's a kill, and I'm here to murder people.
I'm going to die. Yeah. I'm trying to take one for the team, and I'm going to take as many people out with me as I can. Sorry, bro. You know, like, them's the breaks.
Yeah, I mean, this is kind of an extreme example of weird shit you can do in this game, but I don't... Like, it's not as upsetting as just a straight-up hacker to me.
Yeah, that should be the focus. That should be the thing where the publicity comes in.
Like, solve this problem eventually, but there are bigger fish to fry.
Yeah.
And also, given this guy's Dirty Nick persona, it kind of invites this sort of behavior, wouldn't you think? Based on everything I've seen about the guy, I've never watched his stream. Not that I'm above it, I just haven't. And everything about it just says that he's kind of, like you said, you know, he's playing sort of that heel character. So when his audience plays the heel too, then what did you expect?
They learned it by watching him.
I learned it from you, Dad.
So our one final Pubs thing, and we'll... But so they announced that they were going to have like a paid crate system, and that blew up in their fucking face because it wasn't very clear what it was exactly. As far as I understand it, they're having some tournament coming up, and they have a crate that they're giving away at that. But to unlock it costs you you have to buy a key. There's another game that uses a similar crate and key system.
CSGO.
Yeah, exactly. So and you get a crate, but you can't open it until you pay money. They will still give away, like $1.99 or something like that. And they're still going to give away free loot crates with stuff in them. But if you want to engage and get the paid crates that have more loot and things in them, you can certainly do that. And it's kind of partnered with the fact that they announced they're going to be doing custom skins and shit like that, and the thing that they've referenced is the movie Battle Royale, which is the huge inspiration for this game. So he's going to do, you know, character outfits from that game as paid content.
He also made a real sly reference to wanting to get Star Trek people in there.
Yeah.
He was like, hey,
like whatever,
Luke in there.
Yeah.
Hey, I mean, I think I said this one time we were playing. I was like, I want to see, you know, in squads, any number of, you know, a team of firefighters running around, you know what I mean? Or, you know, whatever, you know, but some bunch of guys in like the Russian, you know, Adidas track suits, you know, and, you know, whatever they want to throw in this game, like cosmetic wise.
We need like Devo energy domes and black suits.
Yeah. People will do it. People will, you know, dress up in the craziest stuff, and they will, I just think, the more of that stuff you can put in there, the more variety you'll have, and it'll be a lot of fun just to see what people come up with.
Yeah, Ghostbusters.
When you're playing, you're gonna like kill a guy and be like, "This guy had, you know, he had this on, you know, you don't notice it or something at first." Like
he's got the fucking Snake Plissken skin, man.
Yeah,
I'm telling you, once I get my hands on that Chigusa skin from Battle Royale, it's all done. I'm Chigusa from then on. She's badass. All the Battle Royale stuff I'm real excited about, like, you know, like the Kitano tracksuit and all that stuff. I love that movie, and having
I want a Christopher Guest as the six-fingered man from the Princess Bride skin.
That's good. I would I'm trying to think how extreme I would go.
Like a Godzilla costume.
As long as it didn't harm the movement speed, I would in a second.
Yeah, just running around like the Bobcat Goldthwait one from One Crazy Summer.
Yeah,
like that.
Yeah.
I called dibs on the hot dog suit.
Oh, nice! Like a
Halloween hot dog. Yeah.
Yeah.
I will do that.
All right. Yeah, I look, this game's got an enormous player base.
Shot Mr. Peanut.
Fuck you, Aunt Jemima.
They could take this very far. They could make a lot of money with this.
But, you know, you paid for the game initially, fine. But as long as, like, if they charge for the new maps and this shit, that might be a bit much. But if it's like, hey, you're gonna make your cheddar on the cosmetics,
yeah, there's no need to, like, they're gonna sell tons of that shit,
right?
I have a sneaky feeling maps, for the most part, I hope will be free. I think that's how you keep this game, the legs on this game going, is give the maps
never free. Never fracture your player base.
Think how awesome it would be to have a squad of Mr. Cleans.
That'd be pretty good. Like the blue jeans, white shirt, bald. Yeah. All right.
And you just all just have that, just whatever, have a voice for that, you know, come up with a real peppy voice for Mr. I don't know what he sounds like, but, you know, it's commanding.
Mr. Clean will tell you where to go.
We're coming in, you know, like you're just outside the house, so like we have to come in to clean, you know, it would be hilarious.
They could turn this game into such a circus.
You just all have shotguns.
Oh man. Yeah, I mean, it's fine as long as it doesn't. As long as you're not giving, sell, you're not selling guns. It's all cosmetic. I would prefer to not pay for new maps. I hope they go that route. I hope they do the whole thing with just cosmetic items. There's plenty of games that do that very well. So it's my two cents.
Yeah, yeah, I'm with you. We'll play some of it later.
Mm-hmm. Hitman. They have finished their. They had the last elusive target, but they are still putting out, what do they call these things? Featured contracts. There's a slew of those in the game already, but the new spin that they're putting on it, they said they're not really going to be announcing anything until like the end of September. And everybody's hoping that will be, you know, a season two announcement. After IO, I don't know if we ever talked about that, where IO went through all the shit where they were going to get splintered off from Square Enix. And it was kind of up in the air as to what was going to happen to them. And then Square Enix kind of did them a solid and said, yeah, you guys can just be an independent studio. Here you go. So,
and yeah, and here's the license to Hitman.
Yeah, and like, you get to still have yours. Hitman. Like, man, that could have gone totally the other way. Yeah. So, you know, that's nice to see. Yeah. Here's your game. I guess you guys can take that with you. But they've got this new featured contracts, deal where, users who are like popular streamers or people who have had influence or are involved with this game somehow will get to set up their own contracts. They will curate different ones that the community can then play. So they're continuing to churn out new contracts on a regular basis. So there's always some new, you know, fresh new mission in the game. It's, you know, the same, whatever six maps or that they've got so far, but it's kind of cool where, you've got all those crowd mechanics and, you know, all this stuff all figured out. And so you can just kind of drop a new target in it and throw a little mini story on them. And it just, you know, gives you a new approach to the game. I think that's really cool. They just keep adding value to this thing. What was it? It was on sale on the summer sale for like $10 or $14.
Yeah, I bought it. I got it.
Yeah.
I read through this article and I thought of something instantly that I would love for them to do. And it's kind of like, you know, that like Friday the 13th game that came out with Jason.
Yeah.
What if, you know, it was like multiplayer Hitman where one person's the hitman, one person's the guy, you know, that he has to go after. And then you've got the team of people that have
security.
Yeah. And then you just, that's how that multiplayer goes. That would be so cool. Cause I was like, oh, well, you've got all these streamers. Well, you could just make that like a multiplayer server and have people rotate in and out, trying to protect them or kill them or whatever, you know, if they could do so much stuff now that they have the license for this, it's going to be crazy to see if they
could invent some new game mode entirely. That
exactly.
That, yeah. That'd be cool. Yeah, I'm fucking multiplayer Hitman. Okay.
right.
Sold. Whatever. That sounds great. Yeah, I'm glad to see that's still going. And it sounds like they're saying, hey, we won't have anything to say for a few months. Sounds like you're going to say something in a few months. So.
Right. And then they'll be like, hey, here's when we're going to have season two coming.
Yeah.
So.
Or we are working on season two. More to come.
That would be a real that'd be a real no duh kind of announcement.
Yeah. But you know. We're making season two and you can download it right now.
Right, and episode one is available right now. Oh shit. That's the way you do it, John.
That's how you sell a bunch of copies of Hitman right now.
Yeah.
Glad to see that game popular again. It's one of my all time favorites. Speaking of things I'm totally not interested in, which is the opposite of what we're talking about, SNES Classic pre-orders will open later this month. Nintendo confirms.
Great.
We had this discussion last week.
Just go to eBay, type in SNES, buy the first one.
Type in Raspberry Pi.
There is one counter argument that I think is worth pointing out. This thing is the only way you can play Star Fox 2.
I mean, only way it. Is a but very that's loose.
It. Well, yeah, way for of about 10 minutes after it's released.
Right.
Yes.
Yeah. Also, who gives a shit about Star Fox, really?
I know, but if it's you're not a fan that great and it's a important game. To you, yeah, if it's important to you and you want to play it after all these years of it never being available except for some obscure beta or whatever that's out there on the ROMs. I mean, I get it. People go goofy for games. Sometimes you like something that you just got to play. But
yeah, it's a thing.
Yeah,
it's just the cynicism surrounding this thing of like, I'm going to try to buy one so I can flip it on eBay for $1 million or whatever.
Yeah,
that's the stuff that's gross.
Yeah, that whole culture of people doing that is just stupid.
Nintendo not making enough of this product. Like if this were readily available on store shelves from end of September through middle of January, and they were like, you know what, we're going to make one run of these, we're not going to make them anymore, but while they're available, they're going to be really available.
Yeah.
This kind of, you know, priceless sort of aura that these things have taken on is what's gross about the whole thing. Like a Super NES, a little mini one, they can play a bunch of Super NES games on that's officially licensed by Nintendo. All that sounds great. Just make enough of them and no harm, no foul.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, they're doing the same thing with the Switch right now. Still, that's like true. If you go and you click on Amazon to buy a Switch and Amazon actually itself doesn't have any in stock, what will pop up is a whole bunch of people selling a Switch for $400.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's the thing I wouldn't do. I was like, I didn't go down that gross path where it was like, I'm going to spend $500 on a Switch today.
No, if you want a Switch, you can get one.
Yes.
They are obtainable, but they are expensive because of the way the Nintendo is doing that. And they need to make that available.
What is the name of that website? Let me give another hot tip to the kids. Stockinformer.com is the name of that particular website. But what it'll do is it'll tell you, like, hey, here's where this thing is available. And so you sign up for the updates and you get a little email that's like, hey, they got some of these in stock now. And then you go order the thing.
Nice.
Yeah.
That's good. Yeah. You can end around the scalpers. Fuck them.
Right, right. Just use technology. By God, listeners, you are listening to a podcast created with technology and listened to on technology. Use technology to your advantage in every form of life, particularly the bedroom. And that's why, listeners, I would like you to try. I don't have a product. I ran out of joke. Sorry. But what was the point of all that?
I ran out of joke in a can.
Have you
run out of jokes?
It's a thing that buzzes. You're going to love it. But no, that Stock Informer thing was real cool and real handy for stuff like that. And I assume you can do the same thing. Like if you want to get a Super NES, I'm not going to eat anybody's lunch for them for wanting this thing. It's just don't be gross about it. Don't pay somebody. Yeah. No. Like the way to make this stop is not to buy this stuff secondhand for twice as much.
Yeah.
Yeah. Make that guy who bought 30 of them secondhand end up having to sell them for what they're worth or even cheaper because everyone is just refusing to buy them at that price from him.
Yeah. Don't be a
that will never happen.
people can't help themselves. P.T. Barnum'd up in here.
Yeah. It'd be nice if people were smart enough to just make collective decisions like that and just say no to things that are trash. And then we all just follow through on that decision. But no. It's getting dark in here tonight, man.
All right, let's pull the throttle.
All right, we'll go positive. If you go on the Humble Bundle website right now, they're selling what I think is a really cool idea for a software bundle. It includes the Game Maker software so that you can build your own video games. It comes with a bunch of game source code along with it. And you can pay $15 and get all of, like, they have the Android and all these different platform plugins for this thing. If you ever just wanted to kind of mess around and, you know, see what it's like to build a video game. I messed around in like a cheap version of this a while ago. But I picked this up for $15. So it's like something maybe I can, you know, play around with Daniel in. And because you can just kind of create real simple games in it very easily. And then the fact that they kind of give you all of this source code for all these other games, so you can kind of just poke around inside of a game and see what it looks like. I think that's worth $15. But if you're legitimately, you know, interested or learning about developing video games, this is a hell of a deal for a somewhat decent game making product. You can make some pretty cool indie stuff with it. So I am not a paid advertiser for Humble Bundle.
No.
I just think this is really cool.
I subscribe to that Humble Monthly Bundle, and I never feel disappointed by spending that $12.
Yeah.
So good on. This is one of those things. I always think like, oh, I would love to just take a weekend and do nothing but dig into this kind of shit.
Yeah.
And then I'm like, I'm never going to do that. Why? It sounds so great. I wish I had the time to do it, but I think it's a great deal. I think you're right. And having the source code to stuff like, what was it? Cook Served Delicious.
Yeah.
You know, like that's a great game. I'd like to know how
does that work? Yeah.
Yeah.
It'd be kind of cool to kind of pick it apart. I messed around with Unity a little bit, and it, you know, got to the point where, you know, I could build an island and I could make a dude walk around on the island, and there was wind sound effects. And when you click the mouse button, you would shoot little spheres out that rolled around on the island with like full physics, you know. And I did all that by kind of following some tutorials and in a book that I had that went with it.
Why is that not on Steam right now?
I don't know. I should sell it. Ball Island is what it's called. I don't know.
All right, I'm gonna cut this out. We're gonna make some money.
Ball Island, you're cut out. Ball Island.
Yeah, that's right.
That ain't cool.
I'll tell you what. When you're all sitting on the boat that Ball Island paid for, you can thank me then. You doubting Thomas motherfucker.
PS Plus free games for August on the fantastic PlayStation 4 console, which I own one of.
That thing's all right.
Goddamn ad playing when I went to the page here. They've got, oh my God, go away. Just Cause 3, which I have almost bought several times. Now I get it for free.
I thought that was cool. Not to step on your news, Assassin's Creed Freedom Cry. I'll give that a shot.
Yeah, because that's the one that's just basically pirate game from Black Flag. Yeah, that sounds interesting. Like that's a recent thing that just came out, isn't it?
I don't know. Keep going, and I'll tell you.
I thought that was my page froze, so I'm gonna reopen it because that's some bullshit. Yeah, those are the two big games. Also, where is the Downwell? That was the other one I was thinking of. Yep. I have that on my phone, and that's a really fun game. That's one where you just kind of fall down this pit, and every time you fire straight down, but every time you fire, you kind of lift back up a little bit. So you can't completely reverse falling and ascend, but you can slow yourself down to almost stopping in the air if you fire fast enough. And there's enemies. It's kind of like a Metroid-y looking thing, but I really want to try that on a big giant TV. I think that'll be pretty cool.
Assassin's Creed Freedom Cry released February 18th, 2014.
Okay.
So a few years old, but still one of those games that like I'd never buy it, but I'll certainly, you know, pick it up as part of the PS Plus stuff. And then if you actually, the thing I'm kind of excited by is Downwell also available cross-platform on the Vita, which is a great platform for that. And I think that's cool. And that Just Cause 3 thing, that's definitely gonna get some play.
Yeah, I mean, I've been looking at that game on several Steam sales in a row thinking, I'll get it next time, and I managed to hold out this last time and it worked out. So free game. In the Xbox Gold games this month, I was really surprised by this one. Slime Rancher, which is a game I've talked about on the podcast before. I've played it on PC. It's officially out, and it is the free game on the Xbox One this month. I would highly recommend picking that up. That game's super awesome. And then their second one is Trials Fusion, which is the motorcycle. I don't even know how you describe that game. Puzzle game, kind of. It's like Excitebike puzzle. Yeah.
Yeah.
Punishing as hell. I can always play about 30% of one of those games, and then I can't pass the next level.
Sure. Sure.
Yeah. So.
And then the 360 gets Bayonetta.
Yeah, that's actually kind of interesting.
Oh, sure.
I kind of almost wish I had a gold account still so I could download that.
I'll tell you what, you can pick up Bayonetta for about $2.50 at any used game store.
Yeah, that's true, exactly.
Save or you yourself can get the $50.
Or you can get the remastered version of it on PC. And
100%. Yeah. Why wouldn't you?
Yeah. So anyway. Yeah, but Slime Rancher stood out to me. That's a pretty cool game. If you haven't tried that, it is... certainly a lost Saturday to that for sure, if not more. I probably got like 15-ish hours in that game, 20 hours. It's good. Well, we're getting down to it here. Rockstar Games is being sued. Let me get the name of this fuckers right. By the Psychic Readers Network, also known as the PRN.
Mm-hmm.
Listeners might know the Psychic Readers Network. You have to be, I guess, of a certain age to remember.
Call me now.
Miss Cleo, late night television fortune teller who had kind of a Jamaican accent thing going on. The Psychic Readers Network owns that character, which is played by an actress named... Oh, shoot. I had it here. I'll find her. It might be in the other article. So it's an actress playing that character, the call me on the phone and I'll tell your fortune bullshit. Right. So there was a character in Grand Theft Auto Vice City, which is a 15-year-old game, I'm going to point that out, who was a fortune teller, and she was named something not Miss Cleo.
Auntie Poulet.
Oh, Yuri Harris was the actress who played Miss Cleo. So Auntie Puye is voiced by Yuri Harris, who also did the character of Miss Cleo. So 15 years after that game came out, Psychic Readers Network has decided to sue Rockstar Games because they say that Auntie, whatever her name is, I can't.
Auntie Poulet, you mean?
Auntie Poulet.
There you go.
And is Aunt too Chicken?
Close. Yeah, it's too close to Miss Cleo, and so they're suing. Let's see, where is it? PRN claimed they've spent over $100 million creating and promoting Miss Cleo's persona. That is such bullshit. That is such bullshit. There's no fucking way they spent $100 million doing that.
Right.
There's no way. What a late also, night commercials cost, like $25 to pull one of those
also
on?
This didn't work for Lindsay Lohan. This isn't going to work for you.
Exactly.
Just stop.
I mean, Rockstar's just going to fucking crush them. Like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
And then Rockstar doesn't pay out, as far as I know. I don't think I've heard a story where they just said, yeah, here, go away. They're more like, no, I think we'll just crush you in court. So,
yeah, they've got a lot of money.
Yeah, I mean, I guess it's attractive. But what I don't understand is, I mean, so as Rockstar's attorney, you go into court, and what you do is you try to get the Psychic Readers Network to admit that Miss Cleo is a character, and therefore their product is fake.
Well, what do they give a shit? I mean, are they...
No, but like they're not going to admit that their product anymore? Is fake in court, because then they wouldn't be able to sell their product, because they've been taken to court previously. Where was it?
By the FTC or somebody, right?
Yeah, the
like,
Federal Trade Commission filed a complaint against Psychic Readers Network claiming the organization's entire operation is alleged to be permeated with fraud. Ouch. Psychic Readers Network, along with Access Resource Services, paid a $5 million fine and agreed to forgive $500 million in uncollected bills to settle the case. Like, all you got to do is go into court and just say, these are a bunch of fucking hucksters. Fuck these guys. And then it's done. So, I don't know. It's just like, Are they? So I have the sense that there's going to be like Miss Cleo merchandise available soon or something, and so they thought they would sue to get some free publicity or something. I don't know.
I think it's somebody
buy that stuff.
It's got to be somebody just whose job it is at that company.
Yeah.
Of who can we sue and for what?
Yeah.
Yeah, that makes a lot more sense.
I don't know, man. Shit, it's just weird. 15 years later, I guess you never know when you're going to get sued is the moral of that story.
And they probably waited till the, you know, poor actress was dead so she wouldn't be
like, she died like last year.
Yeah. And yeah. I mean, not that she was Miss Cleo or had any real association with the company. I'm sure she got paid to,
yeah,
you know, portray the role, but whatever.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Strange. All right. What do you guys think about this stand-up comedy game?
I put it on my wish list as soon as I saw it.
I think... go ahead, Justin.
I want to have people come over for VR, and I want to say, who thinks they're the funniest person in the room?
Yeah.
And then I want to, without literally almost no explanation, just shove them into it and see
what give me your best 5 minutes. Go.
Yep. Be like, oh, you're online with people. Oh, yeah, there's another comedian. You're battling against them right now. And the audience, yeah, that's real people too.
Yeah.
And they're yelling at you, and they hate you.
Go. I mean, I'm curious to see how this works, because if it's just an open mic from the audience, it'll just be people yelling obscenities and racist stuff.
I mainly signed up for it because I'm not trying to battle some person as a comedian on stage, but I will absolutely sit here in VR and get
judge people.
Yeah, or just free, you know. Yeah. You know it's going to be funny. You know it's going to end up being funny. So,
oh, yeah.
You know, and to me, this is like, if this works enough, then, you know, you get a game where people battle rap each other, and you get, you can iterate this and make some cool stuff with it.
They should just make a game where you're a DJ and you scratch records and a crowd can show up and listen to you.
Virtual
performances. Yes.
That's going to happen sooner than later, for sure. Yeah.
Comedy Night is an upcoming Steam game where you'll perform comedy on a virtual stage, but with your own microphone and mouth, either on your own or while facing off with another comedian. The audience will be made up of real people who can encourage you, heckle you, or even vote you off stage.
Dun, dun, dun.
Sounds interesting. I'm curious to see some video of that.
Yeah, oh, it's just gonna be such a tremendous shit show.
Yep.
Yeah. I mean, yes, I'm morbidly curious about it, but that's sort of it. And, you know, because nobody who's legitimately good at stand-up is gonna do this, because they're gonna want to be in front of an audience, not an imitation audience. You know what
like
I mean?
As like, a goof, like Jimmy Fallon will get a hold of this.
Segment,
you know.
Yeah.
People off the street.
If you could convince a comic to do it, they would probably enjoy it, I would think. You know, I think they would have an edge for sure. You've got that base of material first. But, you know, it'd be funny to see what people do.
They could do like
mama jokes,
I bet. Do an improv version of it where it's online. Whose line is it anyway?
Gosh.
Yeah, that's all right.
Trademark.
Trademark
Shotcast.
That and Ball Island. Both those getting cut right out of the show.
We're verbally trademarking these things.
Write it down, put it in an envelope, mail it to mail that to yourself, and you've got a copyright.
Yes. It's easy. We're gonna be rich.
Yep.
That's it.
That is the news. I feel much better. I don't know about the rest of you.
I feel great.
Good.
I'm a liar.
Feeling good's good enough.
That's right.
So that'll about wrap it up for the show. One last time, we spin the wheel of randomness to select someone to talk about what they're going to be playing in the coming fortnight. Justin, surprise, it's you.
more Wolfenstein. I didn't bring that up earlier, but I've been playing that a little bit, so that's been fun. And definitely some more of that VTOL game. I'm going to hit that pretty hard this weekend, see if I can get good at it.
Got to get good.
Yep.
Get good.
One John Dolan, how about yourself?
I don't know what I'm going to play. Obviously, pubs. I might fiddle around in the Long Dark a little bit more. The story mode is interesting enough that I want to see more of it, but it is punishing as fuck. Then I've still got all these bunch of little one-offs that I picked up on the last Steam sale that I'm interested in getting into. I opened up Cryptark, which is kind of a side bullet hell shooter thing. And I only played just a little bit of it, and it piqued my interest a bit. So I might dive into that a little bit more. I don't know. Maybe some Just Cause 3 if I can get that shit downloaded.
Yeah. That's available right now, as a matter of fact.
Cool. I have a wealth of video games. I should pick one and play.
This year has been an embarrassment of riches. Not just the games releasing this year, but just like every video game that ever was, you can now get your hands on. Mm-hmm. Except, of course, for the Super Nintendo Classic.
Star Fox. I mean,
you got $500. You can get one of those.
I mean, come on, people. Let's not be crazy. I will be playing some more of the Legend of Zelda Breath of the Wild on my hinge-based pneumatic toilet, naturally. And
that thing, man.
I mean, it's, now that you've said it, it's all I can think about.
Like an airbag.
Oh my god! Just
do you wear a helmet while you're pooping?
I mean, I'm gonna have to if I'm gonna be tossed hither and yon into the shower and back again.
Don't skimp on your helmet, man. You only got one brain.
It's true.
Get a good one.
Yeah, but if it's making those kinds of decisions, maybe it's not worth saving.
Just let it go.
Right. Just, I mean, like, sweatpants would be dressing up. So I'll be playing some more of that, as well as, I mean, hopefully, I got to check the release date on this. Talk amongst yourselves for a second. I got to tell you when my life's going to get weird.
Hey, Justin. What's up?
Carpass.
Carpass?
Carpass.
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 Oh, God. You guys are terrible at that. August 29th.
He said, Bus said, talk amongst yourselves, and we basically were like, lorem ipsum.
That's right. Right. Yeah, it was all peas and carrots with you guys. So anyway, August 29th is when Mario and Rabbids Kingdom Battle releases. And
looks cool.
I mean, it looks cool. Fucking it looks weird.
Cool. It looks cool in like that Nintendo kind of way.
Yeah, it just seems so bizarre.
I'm really curious to know exactly what it is. Like, I don't think that is the full depth of that game, so...
Yeah, I don't know, but it seems weird enough that I gotta try. And like I said, the XCOM style of gameplay is kind of always been one of my favorites anyway. All right. Well, so I'll be playing some of that eventually, but in the meantime, not. So, ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for joining us this evening. It has been a pleasure. We've learned a lot. We've grown together. And now, to take us out with a song, John Dolan. No?
Coffee and donuts at the back of the room.
All right.
Grab coffee and a donut.
Right. I judged the audience wrong. It truly is more of a recovery. It's coffee and donut
kind of crunch, yeah.
Right. Like we're all meeting in a basement of a church.
The show
don't
is called
to meet
the
your
Shod
sponsor
cast.
Before you leave.
Everybody get a buddy. Don't leave without getting a buddy.
Hey, I know something you people at home may not know. Head over to the sdfgaming.com website where you can find links to Twitter and other things. But also, there's a lot of stupid there's a lot of stupid PlayerUnknown's Battlegrounds videos on the YouTube channel is available.
Say Twitter like that again. Twitter. Nah.
Twitter and other forms of social media.
my God. Psychic Twitter.
I call that character Allison based on a character from the movie Grizzly. Allison is into a lot of Tupperware. I mean, I'll bring you the catalog, but really, just ask me. I'll just order it. I know what you need. I've been to your house. So Allison's the worst.
She sized you up. She knows everything.
Oh, Allison's got opinions about everything. I don't know. How do we end the show on this note? All right. So this show is over.
You just turn it off and play the Pac-Man. That's all. Boom. Just do that. Just cut it off. Just cut it off.
Just make it stop. Say goodnight, everybody.
Good night, everybody.
Good evening.